Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. Beautiful April, spring, gorgeous, blue sky, trees blooming, flowers blooming. Atlanta, Georgia. Hope you're doing well wherever you are in the world or across the United States of America today. It's great to be back on the Passion Podcast. We've had a little bit of a lull here, Brad. I don't know what happened, but it's good to be back. I think it could have been a trip to London, trip to Brazil, and a few other things thrown in there, but it's awesome to be back with you guys. I hope the spring is treating you well. If you're a university student, especially here in the Western Hemisphere, that means you're probably bearing down on the last few weeks of class and the end of the term, so go for it. I hope it turns out incredible. A few things to update you on, and then we've got a really cool story to tell you about Good Friday at Verizon, and then a really amazing story to end with from the same weekend celebrating here at Passion City Church on Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning. But just beginning, just to say to everybody, if you don't know already, Passion 2011 is coming fast. In fact, it's April right now, and we'll be back January 1st through the 4th in Atlanta, Georgia for Passion 2011, but we've also added a second location. And that is because we're expecting a little less room in Atlanta than we had last year, but we were hoping there'd be more people in Atlanta than there were last year. So, therefore, we figured we better find some more space, and we're adding Passion 2011 Fort Worth, April 1st through the 3rd. And both of those locations are open for registration. You can go to 268generation.com, click on the Passion 2011 icon that you see down at the bottom. And hopefully those websites are going to be updated any day now with more information like hotels, how to volunteer, and all the other things you're asking. But you can register right now. The schedules are there. And just to kind of clarify for you guys that are thinking about being a part of 2011, both events have same heartbeat, but one's 4 days here in Atlanta. That means 6 community group sessions, breakouts in the afternoons like we had before, a full throttle Go Center with a Do Something Now interactive area, and the whole thing you experienced last year if you were in Atlanta. In Fort Worth, it's 3 days. It's a Friday night through Sunday afternoon, so it's 4 community groups. There's not time for a big interactive Do Something Now area, so our Do Something Now focus will be a little bit more streamlined. There will not be any breakouts in Fort Worth, but we will have the core team at both places. Our guys will be there leading worship, and John Piper will be speaking. Francis Chan's going to be speaking, already confirmed myself. And then obviously we'll be adding more people as we get closer to both events. And it's most likely that there will be different people added in Atlanta than in Fort Worth because we can add more people in Atlanta than Fort Worth. So it won't be exactly the same at the end of the day. I don't want you to be tripped up on that. And so if you need to wait a couple of months to see who all is going to be there before you make your decision, by all means, but it really doesn't matter. It's going to be the same amazing passion experience with God, both cities, both dates. No matter who's leading, it's going to be life-changing and amazing. So here's the thing. Fort Worth, a lot smaller venue. So if you're thinking, I went to Atlanta last year, there were 20-something thousand people, I'm going to go to Fort Worth, and I got all kinds of time. So a lot smaller venue in Fort Worth than we had in Atlanta. So if you're thinking about Texas, you might want to get your group together, make your plans. I know it's almost just less than a year from now, which is a long time to think about doing anything. But you can check it out and help us start spreading the word. But Atlanta's coming quick if you want to be a part of it. Registration is already going strong for Atlanta. Several thousand people already locked into a place here. And before that, here's the big news. We're heading out on the World Tour 2010. It's hard to believe that it's been 2 years since we launched out for Kyiv, Ukraine for the first World Tour, but we are back on the road. In fact, we are less than 30 days away from our first World Tour event. That just makes me freak out today because I don't know. That's less than a month from now. But anyway, we're headed to Ukraine. So if you're anywhere in the former Soviet Union, Eastern European bloc nations, or anywhere that just feels like you want to visit Ukraine and see what Kyiv is all about, we're going to be there on May 10th, coming up fast. That's a Monday. It's Victory Day for all of you guys across Eastern Europe. You know what that means? It's the day after Victory Day. That's right. Victory Day is on the 9th, and so we'll be there the Monday after, which is a holiday for most people. Therefore, it's easy to travel in, so it's a good day for people to come from the surrounding countries, and we've already got people rolling in from different places around Ukraine and all across Ukraine and certainly all across Kyiv. But I say Kyiv, but it's Kyiv. You know how it goes. You were with us last time on the 2008 Passion World Tour. But what I'm telling you is in less than 30 days, I'm going to be holding that little recorder up in the sports palace palace in Ukraine. And I just am telling you by faith right now, I don't have a lot to go on other than maybe close to 1,000 people have already staked their place for Kyiv, which is pretty big time for this first event, but we're expecting lots and lots more people, and you're going to hear a massive roar on the night of the 10th of May, and it's going to be on. So if you're not tuned in already, check out 268generation.com, click the World Tour link under events, and you can visit the website there, and all the information for how you can get tickets for Kyiv is there. A few days after that, just a month from like tomorrow, the next day, we'll be in London on the 14th and 15th of May for a Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night events, 2 days. We've already got people, the first people that registered coming from Northern Ireland. We got people from Norway who've registered, from Paris who've registered. People are coming from across Europe. But all you guys across the UK, now is the time. We need to see you guys jump in there and help us get the word out, help spread the word, and register now. You can do that at 268generation.com. And online, you can get your tickets for Passion London. We'll be taking a little short break and then pretty quickly on to Tokyo on the 22nd of May, Manila on the 25th. And Manila is going to sell out probably any day now. It's just going crazy. So I imagine another week, 10 days, Manila is going to have sold out. If you want to get it in on Manila, you need to do that fast. And then we'll be ending in Hong Kong on the 5th of June. And it's going to be an incredible night. So that's where we're headed. And you're thinking, hey, Louie, I'm in Iowa. Thanks for all the information, but that doesn't really help me very much. Well, here's the thing. You need to, A, put these dates on your calendar and pray like crazy for something supernatural and powerful on these dates. And B, you need to think about helping us do it. We talked a lot about that in 2008, and we had all those regional events across America to help get people excited about connecting to these cities and giving financially to help make this tour possible. And we really haven't had that opportunity this time around. You did give a great gift at Passion 2010, $200,000 plus to get us rolling. But it's about a $2 million-plus event to do these low or no-cost events around the world. In fact, in every place this time around, there's some cost involved, but it's so ridiculously low, it really just helps us know who's coming and doesn't hardly in any way offset the cost of doing something this massive. So I'm just hoping somebody's out there today. We're not about fundraising on the Passion Podcast, you know that. But I've been thinking all day that I'm hoping somebody's out there somewhere in the world, and it's just going to be like a little light bulb switching on for you, and you're going to be that. That's the thing. I know God's put that on my heart. I have opportunity and means to really get behind this tour. And I came in, and right before the podcast today, I went up to my office and I was going through my mail really fast. And one of the organizations that we partner with at Do Something Now, this is really cool to me, that we're giving money to, that we believe in their cause and what they're doing in the world, they sent a check back to us. And so we've been able to help them do some significant things through their cause around the world. Well, they sent a check back today for $10,000 that they wanted to invest in one of our Southeast Asia or East Asia stops in Tokyo, Hong Kong, or Manila. And that was just a cool sign from God that, hey, I'm with you. I know it's 30 days away and you're starting to get to that freak out mode, but I'm with you. And here's $10,000 towards this mountain of $2+ million that you need to make this happen. And so I know God is with us, but I'm just saying, if there's a little connection in your heart that you sense right there, we totally would love to have your help. But most certainly, we want you to be praying with us. We just got back from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and we spent 3 days down there, 3 quick days, 16 hours in the car during the 3 days that we were there. So, hey, if you want to go to Sao Paulo, just get ready for traffic. And I'm saying Sao Paulo, if that sounds weird. Americans have been saying Sao Paulo, and I kept listening to the Brazilians, and they kept saying Sao Paulo. So I'm trying to go with the Brazilians, right? So I'm trying to go with Sao Paulo. But a city of 20+ million people, we had a large group vision casting. We got to share some cool meals with key leaders of ministries across Brazil, leaders of Campus Crusade in the city, navigators, InterVarsity, some cool church ministries that are doing amazing things, some worship leaders that have a huge voice in the nation. But the cool moment was being in this hotel on Wednesday night. We're at the Hilton Hotel, and we got this huge room, and all these people have RSVP'd and said, we're going to come to this vision casting time. We want to hear you guys talk about what's going to be happening in September. And, you know, we weren't really sure. There were so many people responded. We were like, certainly they're not all going to come. Well, not only did they all come, but more than what we thought was coming came. And there were over 300 pastors and campus ministry leaders gathered together in this hotel. They came from all over Brazil, not just all over Sao Paulo. They came from 6 hours away, 5 hours away, 4 hours away. They flew, they drove, they came on trains. They made a huge effort to be in this room. All these streams, all these denominations, all these different stripes of the body of Christ in one room saying, hey, we believe that God has a future for the student generation of Brazil. We believe the time is now. We believe something amazing is on the horizon, and we want to be a part of it. And somehow we think passion plays into that. And I'm telling you, we prayed at the end, and it was so loud when they prayed. They all prayed out loud at the same time. And when they prayed, it was so loud. I just was watching the door for any second now. The Hilton staff is coming through the door going, what in the world are you doing in here? It sounds like a freight train is coming through. But it was just their hearts and their desperation for their nation and for the salvation of a generation to believe that God really is alive, that Christ really is alive, and he's alive in that nation and every nation on this earth. And so I have a good feeling about Passion Sao Paulo coming up in September. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. But before then, we've got Kyiv, London, Tokyo, Manila, and Hong Kong, and they're coming fast, and we need to know there's a whole wave of you guys out there behind us as we head out on this journey. So thanks for letting me share that, and we hope to hear back from you. Say, I want to give. How do I do that? Go to 268generation.com, look at the little button that says About, scroll down, it says Donate. Underneath there, there's a little link, and you can give specifically to the Passion 2010 World Tour there, or you can send a check to Passion. The address is on there as well. Or you can roll up 50 pennies and bring them by and leave them at the front of 31 North Main, Alpharetta, Georgia, and we'll take that as well. Any way you want to give, you can give. You'll figure that out if God puts it on your heart. But here's a little bit of awakening. I hope you've gotten it, by the way. If you don't have awakening, I can just say, you know, you're missing out. I mean, no kidding. I saw a guy's tweet 2 days ago, and I loved it. He said, just got awakening. Whoa, I've been missing out. And I'm like, no kidding. This album has been out for over a month now, and it's the best worship project we've done, and it's the best collection of songs we've ever put together, and it's just awesome, awesome album. And it's already kind of had its fanfare and its big month-long debut, but it's out there for those of you who just haven't had, you know, that encouragement to go download it at iTunes or check it out in one of the bookstores or one of the places where music sold around you. You can check in Walmart or Target or a Christian retailer near you. But Awakening is out there, and we're so excited about it. And this is one of the tracks that we've been loving at Passion City Church. We've done it a few times, and it's just been incredible. But Crowder sort of unloaded it for the world, written by a worship leader here in Atlanta. And this is Like a Lion from Passion Awakening, and I'll be back with a Good Friday story that's going to make you really happy in just a couple of minutes.
Let love explode and bring the dance alive. Love so bold to see a revolution somehow. Let love explode and bring the dance alive. Love so bold to bring a revolution somehow.
I love it. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. That's the truth. Greater is he who is inside of us today than he who's in the world. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way, and a lot of the times it doesn't look that way. But that is the new reality that's going on in our lives, and we've got to believe that, we got to think like that, and we got to renew our minds to that truth today so that we can walk in that everywhere we go. So Good Friday weekend, Brad, we decided we would have our second annual Good Friday service. That was a bold move on our part, given that we almost got tornadoed to death the year before. But hey, that was a cool night. But the weather, absolutely spectacular on Good Friday. and people just turned up. We had to obviously turn a lot of people away. The deal sold out about 2 weeks before Good Friday night, but that was cool. And so here we walk out, and the whole place is jammed. The whole lawn is jammed with people. And we also got a chance to you know, web stream this thing through some radio station websites around America, which happened kind of at the last minute, but was really cool. So not only were there about 12,000 of us at Verizon, there were about 30,000 people watching these streams around the country. And it was a beautiful night. I mean, obviously, all we wanted to do was lift up the cross and lift up Jesus and lift up the salvation that we find, not just, you know, for the future, but for this moment in Jesus Christ. And we wanted to benefit rebuilding efforts in Haiti. You know, Haiti's not in the news anymore. Nobody even thinks or talks about Haiti in the mainstream media anymore. But there's a long, long road to go there. And we've been waiting for this moment because at first it was just immediate response, disaster relief, that we were waiting for those opportunities where there were specific, tangible targets that we could aim at and say, we want to do that in terms of rebuilding this nation and giving hope to these people. And so all of Good Friday night was about raising money for Haiti. And of course, the tickets were $10 because they're notoriously low, and that covered about doing Good Friday. And so we were like, all right, that's not going to help Haiti. So we were going to take up an offering on the night, and we had three specific causes. One, we wanted to build some of these temporary, really long-term temporary homes through Samaritan's Purse. And if you want to, that rings your bell, go to Samaritan's Purse website. I'm sure you can find them on there. There are these kind of longer-term tarp structures, four-sided bunk beds that sleep 10 to 11 people, have a gutter system on the roof that captures water. It's a little bit self-sustainable in that regard. And for $1,000, you can assemble one of these things on land that Samaritan's Purse has already in Haiti. And they've already assembled quite a few of them. Their goal, I think, is about 7,500. And we wanted to do 30 of them. We had two of them set up at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater so people could see what we were talking about. And so we wanted to raise 30 grand and build 30 of these homes for families that would house 300 plus people in Haiti. We also wanted to restart three child projects and child survival projects through Compassion International. A lot of these churches just got wiped out. And when they did, the whole child project got wiped out. And they have several of these that needed to be restarted at a cost of about $8,000 a piece. And we wanted to do that. And so we took on five of these things to restart them. And then the other really cool thing that happened in the night is I'm watching these Twitter accounts, and I'm just watching random stuff popping up. And I see these two guys are saying, hey, we're riding our bikes across America, and we're going to be coming through Atlanta soon, and we'd like to go to dinner with Louis Giglio. And I'm like, okay, who are these guys? So I click on their deal, find their website, and turns out, here's the story, right? Brad calls these guys and connects with them. It's two high school seniors. Are you ready for this? Two 18-year-old high school seniors. They want to do something to change the world. They want to ride their bikes across America for something. You know, they're just determined they want to make a difference in the world. They're not sure how, but they know they want to ride their bikes across America, and they know they want to raise money. Well, they come to Passion 2010, and they come down to the Do Something Now area, and they see this living water thing where these people are carrying these, you know, big 40-pound jerry cans of water around this eighth of a mile loop that we've got down there. They get awakened to the water crisis in the world, and they go, that's what we're going to do. We're going to ride our bikes across America to raise money for wells so that people in this world that don't have access to clean water can. And so they got linked up with Living Water, our partner at Do Something Now, and they were going to build wells in Haiti, wells that had been damaged or wells that were needed to be built in Haiti. They wanted to raise $50,000. So these guys talked their principal into letting them out of school. They go to this really high-end private school in Memphis, and they're really smart kids. So I think that's how that worked out. But I mean, I think for them, missing school meant they rode their bikes 100 miles a day and then did their homework every night when they got to the Red Lion Inn, and then did that again the next day and the next day and the next day. But anyway, they got out of school. They went to Santa Monica, California, got on their bikes, and rode them 2,700 miles to Savannah, Georgia, trying to raise $50,000. And they had this website. In fact, it's probably still up. You can go check them out. Their names are Court and Christian, and their website's called thewatercycle.org. all one word, thewatercycle.org, and you can see them there and see kind of a little bit about their journey. Well, I just got fired up. I'm thinking, I don't know if I can go to dinner with you when you come through town or not, because I'm not sure what day that is, but I'm fired up about what you're doing, and we want to be a part of that. We want to get in on that kind of an amazing story. And so they ended on Thursday before Good Friday in Savannah, and then we had a ceremonial ending for them Good Friday night. And so I told their story. We put the big map up on the deal, and you could see where they'd already gone across America, and we put their pictures up there and put their link to the Living Water site and saw their $50,000 goal. I think they were up to about 35 grand at that point, and they had a little money that hadn't come in yet, so I think they were thinking they were at about 40 grand. And so everybody's like, wow, that's pretty cool. And so I said, well, I thought it'd be great if they ended their ride here at Good Friday. So about that time, in come Court and Christian on their bikes, in their water cycle gear, riding into the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater to the standing, cheering, crazy applause of 12,000 people. And I'm sure they had some amazing moments on this ride across America, but there weren't 12,000 people waiting for them anywhere. And here was 12,000 people cheering for them, inspired by them, excited about what they're doing. We pull them up on stage. We give them some cool stuff from the night. And then we give them one of these, like, you know, golf tournament checks, you know, the kind of oversized jumbo checks. And it's made out for $10,000. And we said, hey, guys, we're going to help you max out your $50,000 goal. Here's a check for $10,000. The look on their faces was absolutely priceless. And it was just that God thing of the whole time they're riding across America. I don't know them. We don't know them. Passion doesn't know them, but God knows them. And as they're riding across America, God's smiling the whole time going, you guys are going to finish at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater and 12,000 people are going to cheer for you. And this dude's going to walk out there and give you a $10,000 check to help you get to your $50,000. So just keep on riding. It's going to be cool. Just keep on riding, keep on riding, keep on riding. I'm involved. And that's what was really cool to me. And then the other cool part, I was able to look at the 12,000 people sitting there and those watching us online and say, oh, and by the way, this check isn't good yet because we don't have $10,000 unless you guys give it tonight. And so we put those causes out there, total 84 grand. That's what we were going to raise that night for Haiti. And took them so long to count the money that night, we didn't know till the next day. And the next day, the total came in. I know you already know what you're... Yeah, you've been around enough. So, yeah, $189,000 was given online, people watching the web stream, people texting OMC to 20222, which you can still do, by the way, and people giving that night. And so we were able to not only give Court and Christian the 10 grand, we were able to give Living Water 20 grand on their behalf, not only build 30 of those houses in Haiti, but we were able to build 60 of those houses in Haiti with Samaritan's Purse, and not only restart 5 compassion projects, we were able to restart 10 compassion projects and have a little bit left over to spread out between all 3 ministries again. It was so cool, so exciting to be able to just be a conduit of all that money going right through our hands that night and right to the people of Haiti to say this is tangible and real expression from the greater body of Christ around the world that you are not forgotten, that you are not marginalized, that you're not off the radar of the heart of God and the people of God. And we love you. We're praying for you. And I don't know if we have any podcast listeners in Haiti, but if we do have any, I just want you to know there's a whole bunch of us that still think about you, and we're still thinking about how we can leverage what we have so that you can be a part of a future that's bright and filled with hope. And that's going to happen, we believe, in Jesus' name. So I'll be right back. It fires me up thinking about it. Court and Christian, way to go. That's all I can say. If you're on the subway right now in a bus on campus getting to class or just walking across campus or you're driving your car to work, why don't you just give a little hand, a little round of applause, just a little quiet. You know, you don't have to jump up and scream, just a little quiet hand clap for a Christian in Court. I mean, that is so cool. And guys, if you ever hear this, I don't know if you will or not, but way to go. You inspired all of us and made us all think if 2 18-year-olds can go out and raise 50 grand to rebuild wells in Haiti, what can any of us do if we think about leveraging what we have for those who don't have the basic things of life? So way to go, guys. I'll be right back with one last little Good Friday story that's really going to encourage you a whole lot. Before we get there, this is King of Heaven, Charlie Hall, the one and only from Passion Awakening. I'll be back in just a minute. King of Heaven, come down. King of Heaven, come down. So before we close out today, and thanks for hanging in there to the very end, I really, really appreciate it, and I hope you've at least thought about going to 268generation.com and clicking on that World Tour link and finding out when those cities are and writing them on something that you can see every day so you can start praying for Kyiv, or maybe God will put London in your heart, or Hong Kong, or Tokyo, Manila, Sao Paulo, Brazil, or Vancouver, Canada. And you can start right now saying, you know what, I'm going to pray as often as God's Spirit reminds me for the Passion team and the gathering that's going to happen in that city. That's what we need, is a whole wave of us together moving towards the beginning of this tour. That's what's going to make it work, and that's what it really is all about. So we're at Good Friday, and gosh, so many things happened. I mean, the Court and Christian thing was amazing. There were other phenomenal moments in it. But one of the ones that always will stand out to me is there's this moment where Matt and Beth Redman and Matt's band were leading You Never Let Go. And it's kind of about maybe two-thirds of the way through the night or something like that. The night had been going for a while, and we were a little behind schedule, surprise, surprise. And they're leading, and I'm thinking, okay, timing-wise, you know, this song ends. I go out and do the second part of this talk thing, and that's kind of what needs to happen. But my heart says something different. My heart says, hey, you need to go out and give people a chance to sit in this song for a minute and to stand in the truth of what Matt and Beth are saying. And I just feel that prompting. You know, sometimes you're not really sure, and I was 100% sure, but I thought, I'll go for it. And so I just kind of walked out and got Matt's, kind of caught his eye and just gave him a little signal, can you just keep strumming? And so he's just kind of hanging in there with that You Never Let Go. And I said, you know, Matt and Beth wrote this song out of some struggles in their own life. And I just felt like, and, you know, I'm not sure if it's me or the Holy Spirit, but I just felt like God wants to pause right here. And if you're out here tonight in this crowd of people and you're facing death and darkness, some struggle, then this is for you tonight. This song is for you tonight. And I just want to invite you just to stand up in faith in this song, to believe that there is a God who's not going to let go of you, whatever is going on in your life. And I think I said again, so if you're facing death right now, we had some friends of ours in our core team at Passion City Church, and one of their closest friends and an amazing, amazing man of God, young 30s, had gone to be with Jesus a few days earlier in the week. And I knew the song he wanted sung at his service a few days after Good Friday, the last song was going to be You Never Let Go. And that was kind of in my heart. And I was thinking about Mike and his wife, Cabell, and our friends. And I was just thinking, there's got to be some other people in that moment. And so we just walked into it. And I just said, if that's you, Matt and Beth are going to sing this again. And when they do, I just want to invite you just to stand up and just to stand in the truth of this, and just to raise up your hope to heaven. And they started playing, and it really was a cool and holy thing. I mean, lots of people just started standing up and just stretching their hands up towards God. And you could tell by the looks on their faces that it was a sacrifice of praise. It was in agony and in difficulty and through pain that they were reaching out to him. And so the song ended and the night went on. And, you know, sometimes you just don't know. You just go for it by faith. But the very next day, I got this email, and it pretty much confirmed that it wasn't just me. It really was God who was leading us in that moment. And I just want to read it for you. I have permission from Melissa to read this. It says, "Dear Louis and Passion team, I attended your Good Friday service, and I just wanted to take a moment and thank you. I'm sure you get thousands of emails, and I trust if you're supposed to read this, you will. I just felt led to tell you my story. I followed you since your 722 days and have volunteered at Passion 06 and Passion 07, the latter alongside who would become my husband, Tony Edge. God has used you over and over in my life to reveal truths about who he is, many of those being documented in my Bible. When I heard about the Good Friday service, I never had planned to attend. Too many people, and since I'm a Christian, I figured the seat that I would take up would be better taken by someone who doesn't know the Lord. Well, that was until a couple of weeks ago when my life was altered forever. I'm not sure if you keep up with the local news, but my husband was the man missing on Stone Mountain on March 23rd, and his body was recovered the next day after an accidental fall from the top. My husband was a man of great faith, and I rest in knowing that he is finally home. Just a little parenthesis there. It's a big granite mountain here in Atlanta that's about 600 plus feet straight up the front to the top, and it's more accessible from other angles, and so you can walk up or take a tram up to the top. And apparently your husband was up there studying. He was in grad school, and I think he was up studying at the end of the day. And on the way down, not sure exactly how it happened, but he got into a place where it was too tricky for him. And around dark, he fell off the face of Stone Mountain, and they didn't know what had happened to him until the next day. That news, by the way, reached us when we were in Brazil, but we weren't here for the, you know, for the day-to-day coverage of it. But now here is the wife of this man writing to us. And so she goes on to say, "My friend Amanda asked if I'd like to attend the Good Friday service the day after his funeral. And for some crazy reason, I said yes. So we arrived just before the concert began, grateful for her parents saving us seats to avoid traffic and what I can only imagine as a mad rush of 20-somethings desperate for the best seats in the house. I sat on the end of the aisle and must admit that thought about escaping through the entire first part of the concert and your first talk. Then Matt Redman began to sing You Never Let Go, and I raised my arms up to heaven as if to grasp the hand of God. It brought comfort to my soul. Then you came out and said you had a prompting from the Holy Spirit to sing another verse and have those who are hurting, specifically those who are facing death, to stand. I hesitated at first, and then I stood to my feet, tears streaming down my face with my friend's arm around me. I again raised my hands to the sky and could truly feel God holding me up and reassuring me that his plans for me are good and that there is a light at the end of this tragic tunnel. I just wanted to thank you for being obedient to the Lord's prompting. I know the night was all about the Lord bringing salvation to many, but for me, it was about God reminding me that he's got this now 30-year-old widow in the palm of his hands. I could go on and on about how God has used my loss for his glory, but I just wanted to say thanks. Staying the course, Melissa." And I have to tell you that, you know, you just don't know what's happening around you at any given moment. And I share this for two reasons. One, that it's good to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that we go unchecked, just saying, hey, I think God wants me to go stand in the middle of the freeway and do something ridiculous, and so I'm going to do that. It's not that at all. It's in maturity and in growth and in wisdom and in a community of faith, being sensitive to the fact that God's Spirit actually will prompt you and me to do things that seem simple at the time but may have profound implications in somebody else's life and profound consequences in some other circumstance. And so we should be open to that. We should think more about that. And yeah, it requires a lot of wisdom and a lot of maturity and all that sort of thing. But I just want to speak toward that. But the second thing is, it just was so powerful to me how personal God is and how he'd orchestrated all this event. And Matt and Beth are going to sing this song in this moment, and I'm going to feel like I should say something in this moment. Why? So that one person for sure that I know out of all the people that were a part of this night could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that her Heavenly Father knows who she is, knows what she's going through, knows what she's carrying, knows how her heart has been shattered, and goes to extraordinary lengths to say to her, "Melissa, I am with you." And that, my friends, is the God that we worship and serve. And I know sitting here right now that there's somebody on the other end of my voice somewhere in this world right now. And right in this moment, you're going, "I cannot believe you're sharing this. It is absolutely confirmation to me that God hasn't forgotten me, that my dark night is going to see the rising sun again. And there is hope that God still does have my life on course and in his hands." And you may be that now 30-year-old widow. You may be the son or the daughter or the mother or the father or the friend or the neighbor, but God has you in the palm of his hand today, and his purposes for you will prevail. Tony's life glorified God. I know that his service glorified God. I got another message from some other of his family members. I read Melissa's email on Easter Sunday morning as we were back at Verizon for Passion City Church's first Sunday morning service ever. And everyone was so encouraged, but her friend Amanda, who brought her to Good Friday, was there. And so she immediately texted her and said, "You're not going to believe this, but Louis just read your whole email." Fortunately, she was happy about that because I hadn't asked her permission yet because I just thought about it the last second. But she said, "Oh, I want you to share it with as many people as you want to share it with. I want Tony's life to touch as many people as possible." And then later after the fact, some of his other relatives wrote just to say, "Hey, thank you. He lived to glorify God. And in his death, he's glorifying God, and we're confident that God's purposes for his life are going to prevail." And that's all we can ask for in this life. So I hope you're encouraged today, wherever you are. If you're in Ukraine, you need to be on the Passion268Generation.com website, getting your ticket for Passion Kyiv. If you're anywhere around London, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, the greater UK, or anywhere in Western Europe, you need to be thinking about London, and you need to be getting your tickets right now and planning on joining us there. Francis Chan's going to be speaking there with me, by the way. I didn't mention that. And Matt Redman, Chris Tomlin, and David Crowder Band, thank you, are going to be leading worship with us in London. It's going to be a great, great Friday and Saturday. The FA Cup's going on. That doesn't mean anything to any of you guys in America, but it means a lot to all you people in the UK. It's going to be going on next door to us in Wembley Stadium while we're in Wembley Arena on Saturday. So it's going to be a crazy, awesome, amazing, fantastic day to be there. So thanks for being with us today. Check all the world tour dates out. Passion 2011 registration is open. And thanks for getting behind us and praying with us for amazing things that are to come. We'll see you soon, hopefully, on the Passion Podcast. Take care.